This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran speaks often about actions linked to guidance. So there's numerous places in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that because of this action, they were given guidance. Because of this particular deed, they were given guidance. Or because of this particular deed, they were given misguidance. They were taken off the path. So now a number of things that we're going to discuss today related to that is that what is the connection between a'mal and guidance? And then when we say guidance, if we've done a deed and you've received guidance, then how can you do another deed and then get more guidance? So essentially that tells us that there are different levels of guidance. So we're going to discuss that, and then of course, similarly, misguidance in that regard. The best thing for us in this regard is the knowledge that the more good deeds that we include in our life, the more good deeds that we do, then there is clearly a benefit in that regard, in the sense that it will continue to take us closer to Allah, because guidance means being closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more bad deeds that come into our life, then that is how much we're going to become deviated. So we cannot be fully guided until we have eradicated pretty much all the bad deeds in our life. Because every bad deed that is committed, it just takes us away from the path of guidance. So at least to at a certain age in your life, to be accomplished, we definitely have to have more guidance or more actions that take us to guidance than actions that take us to misguidance. So we definitely have to have that dominate and then work towards eradicating all the bad deeds and having complete domination of good deeds. So that's basically what it's going to be about based on the Quran and the Ahadith. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, numerous places, He joins a deed in the Quran, joins a deed with guidance, and likewise with misguidance. So there are numerous actions that are not necessarily just physical deeds, but they are also actions that relate to the heart, the way we think and so on, which generally bring about with them guidance. So number of actions will be associated with the limbs of the heart, to which will demand guidance, which will demand that we be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise misguidance. So any action of goodness and piety, it will provide the fruits of guidance, and every time we increase in those deeds, then it will increase in the guidance. So it provides its fruit, and then after that it just continues to increase. Likewise, if you do any fujur, which is any form of transgression or any form of sin, then the opposite will happen. It will take us to misguidance, which is opposed to the road of guidance. The reason for this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves good deeds. He loves acts of piety. A'mal al-birr. He loves it. And based on any actions of good deeds that a person does, he responds and he rewards with huda wal-falah. He rewards with guidance and success. So this is a ticket of your success. This is a bonus for your success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates misdeeds, bad deeds, fujur, fisk, etc. And that's why whenever that happens, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides misfortune, provides the opposite of falah, the opposite of success. He provides misfortune, and it basically takes a person away from the path. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the people that do these good deeds. He loves the good deeds, He loves the people, they become beloved to Him. And any person that becomes beloved to Him, then He brings their hearts closer to Him. So with every good deed that we're doing, we're getting that much closer to Allah, because the heart will get closer to Allah. As much as the level of piety that a person does, that is how much they're going to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, with as much misguidance or as much deeds of impiety, that is how much it's going to take a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, Alif Lam Mim, Dhalikal Kitabu La Rayba Fih Hudan Lil Muttaqeen. Now this underscores something very important, because it's speaking, this is the first part of the Quran where Allah says that this is the book, there's no doubt in it. It's a guidance, Hudan Lil Muttaqeen. It's a guidance for the people with taqwa. So the Quran is a guidance, but the Quran doesn't guide people who are not receptive to it. Now that has to be understood, that as Allah says right at the beginning there, that it's guidance for the muttaqeen. Now this includes two aspects in it. Right? This is incorporates two aspects in it, this aspect here. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide it, will guide with the Quran, the one who has taqwa. Right? The one who has taqwa, and the one who fears God's anger. So for example, let's take before the revelation, because the Quran came down at a particular time. Let's take those people who were around before the Quran was revealed, and the people who the Quran has continued then to benefit. So there's going to be two states. Before the Quran came, the people were in a different state. There was no guidance, but there was a desire in the heart to gain guidance. Whereas right now, we know there's the guidance there. We're just finding trouble following it. Whereas in those days, they didn't have a revealed book. Anything that was available at the time was confusing, was changed, was altered. So that's why the people who didn't want to anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the supreme being in their minds, they just didn't know how to do it properly, but they had this idea. So before the book was revealed. Now, at that time, despite whatever faith a person came from, one thing that was established by them in their minds is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like dhulm and oppression. Any good person will understand that. Any good person will come to terms with the idea that oppression is a bad thing. Oppression is a bad thing. Unchastity and immorality is a bad thing. That's another bad thing. And fasad fil ard, just corruption in the world in general, imbalance, all of that is a bad thing. So they would dislike people like this. They would dislike people who would do that. They wouldn't do it for themselves. They loved adl, justice, piety with others, doing good for others, generosity and truthfulness, reform in the world, people seeking reform. That's the kind of thing that they would like, and they understood that this is what Allah would like as well, and Allah would like people who do those kind of deeds. So when the Quran came down in the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then rewarded the people of piety, of that piety in their limited sense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded them with this, and He gave them guidance to believe in the Quran. So they took on the Quran. Why did they get that? Jaza'an lahum. This was a reward for them having those ideas and inclinations towards piety from before. So the Quran came down to these receptive hearts to reward them as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then forsook the people of impiety, and the people who were unjust, the people who were into transgression, and they were not able to be guided by this Quran. So that's how this Quran worked for the people who were there at the time. It separated the people out. People accepted it, yet there were others who did not accept it. There were others who fought with it, who struggled with it. They had good somewhere in their heart, but it took a while for the evil to be washed away. They did not embrace straight away. They embraced after 5 years, 7 years. You know, it took a while for them. And yet there were other people who never embraced, like Abu Jahl, for example. Abu Lahab, they never embraced, despite Abu Lahab's connection, close connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this was all based on the state of their heart. And of course, the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the other thing is that people who have the Quran in their midst, and it wasn't revealed to them, it's been available and accessible. So a person believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. He obviously believes in the Quran, and he gains guidance from it in general. He gets a general path. Now this is most of us. Our worldview that we must pray five times a day, we must fast in Ramadan, all of that we understand from the Quran. However, that's not enough. That's just an ambiguous kind of general path. It's a generic kind of path, but we're not very particular in this regard yet, in the sense that we're not fully conforming to everything in the Quran. We have a general idea. We accept what's in the Quran. We believe in its message. And of course, because of that, we get a level of guidance. First level of guidance we get because we've believed in the Quran and we've taken the general ethos of the Quran, right? Now, as soon as we start getting more detail that this is what Allah wants us to do, this is what Allah wants us to do, if you do this, you get this, then suddenly you get more detailed understanding, and thus based on that you get more detailed form of guidance as well. Now there's a lot of people who we consider nominal Muslims. They're born in a Muslim household, so that's why they believe in certain things, kind of hanging on. They do the prayer and so on. Some people are just about hanging on, they just about do Eid prayer. They're very lazy, for example. There's some people who are less lazy, but it's not about laziness, it's just that they've given more effort, and thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided them with a greater sense of guidance. That's why they're at least praying every day and not just restricting it to Eid Salat, for example. So these are all different levels of guidance. And one thing that we have to understand is that فَإِنَّ الْهِدَايَةَ لَا نِهَايَةَ لَهُ. Hidayah has no nihaya, which means guidance has no ending. Nobody can say that I am at the peak of guidance. There's no guidance beyond this, because Allah is infinite. He is not attainable completely. So guidance just continues and continues and continues, because there's no end to guidance. There's always a level beyond it. So فَفَوْقَ هِدَايَتِهِ هِدَايَةٌ أُخْرَى. Above the guidance that a person has, there's always going to be another level of guidance. So there's always room for improvement. وَفَوْقَ تِلْكَ الْهِدَايَةِ هِدَايَةٌ أُخْرَى. And above that guidance, there's going to be another guidance. فَكُلَّمَا اتَّقَ الْعَبْدُ رَبَّهُ اِرْتَقَى إِلَى هِدَايَةٍ أُخْرَى. Every time a person does an act of piety, an act of taqwa, then he suddenly ascends to a higher level of guidance. When he does another one, he goes to another higher level. Now, there is always going to be room for increase in guidance the more a person has taqwa. Now, that's why no two people can ever be alike, because there's just so many levels, and you can never both get to the same level as such. You know, expect that we are at the topmost level now, there's nothing to go beyond that. Okay, you've accomplished and I've accomplished it as well. There's always more levels in that regard. Every time a person takes on more taqwa, he gets accordingly that much more guidance. Every time a person that has taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases his guidance. Every time his guidance increases, his taqwa increases. So he gets that solidification in his heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ يَهْدِي بِهِ اللَّهُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَهُ سُبُلَ السَّلَامِ وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Now these are the verses that have this idea within them. For you has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the light, نُورٌ. وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. And also the clear book. Has come a light and the clear book from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you. For what reason? يَهْدِي بِهِ اللَّهُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَ. Allah guides with it. Allah guides through it those who follow His pleasure, follow the deeds that please Him. Now what is that saying? That the Quran is not just for that initial guidance and to set you on a path, but the Quran is also there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides through it people who already want the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have already committed to the initial phase, but Allah just guides with it them even more. Subul as-salam, where does He take them now? He takes them to the paths of peace, the paths of well-being, of salam. Subul as-salam. And the salam that you will get will be in Jannah. Salamun alaykum bima sabartum. This will be the angels, they will say, salamun alaykum, peace be upon you now, bima sabartum, because of your patience. So that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide them. And وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ, He will also remove them, take them out of the dhulumat, of the darknesses, ila nur, to the light, bi'idhnihi, through his permission. The darknesses of the world are essentially when a person cannot see the right. He doesn't have enough light to see the light with, and thus he just inclines towards the dark deeds of the world, as bright and shiny as they seem. They don't have real light, but they are bright and shiny. وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, and he guides them onto the straight path. That's in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Then in Surah Al-Shura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اللَّهُ يَجْتَبِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. Allah subhanahu, now this is, what you must be looking at in here, is that this is all speaking about a level above the initial guidance. This is not about accepting the faith. This is beyond accepting the faith. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah yajtabi ilay. Ijtaba means to select, to choose for yourself something. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses for himself or selects to him whoever he wishes. Wayahdi, and he guides those ilayhi man yunib. He guides towards him those who do inaba, who like to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to return to Allah. Inaba means you get sick of everything else and you say, no, let's just go there now. So that's the idea of the world as well, that, oh look, we've seen everything of the dunya. This is useless. This is redundant. This is just an adornment. Let's go back to thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selects people who think in this manner. So it's that higher level of guidance. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'la, سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. The people who will receive this admonition, who will see through this, and gain this lesson, are the people who fear Allah. Fear provides tadhakkur. Tadhakkur means reminders, remembrance. The ability, you see, we read the Quran often. Many of us read the Quran often. Even the Hufaz of the Quran, they read the Quran often. But we never benefit from the meaning as much as we'd like to. It's only sometimes on that very special day when a verse has been pointed out to us that it makes sense, though we've read it hundreds of times before. It requires a heart. You could have thought about, you could be teaching tafsir, you could be reading tafsir over and over and over again, but it's only the 12th time or the 100th time that you actually read it that it really found a place in your heart. It was as though that verse was just made for you. That is tadhakkur. That is tadhakkur. And that is given to the people who fear. When they're in that special state of fear, the heart is conducive for that verse affecting him in that way. That's what you call tadhakkur. So again, this is speaking about a higher level. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ghafir, وَمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ إِلَّا مَنْ يُنِيبُ. Very similar, that it's only the people who finally return to Allah, who've given up with everything else, and whose focus, they've made a conscious decision to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will gain this tadhakkur. Tadhakkur is very important. Then Surah Yunus, Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. That verily those people who believe and who do good deeds. He's not talking about coming into Islam first. He's talking about people who are already in Islam. They believe, they are doing good deeds. Allah guides, their Lord guides them due to their iman. Where does he guide them due to their iman? He guides them further beyond into the upper levels of this guidance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his first level of guidance is iman. When people have believed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides them to further levels of guidance. Their iman keeps increasing. They get further levels of guidance. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا هُدًا. The people who have gained guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases them in their guidance. Now this can only mean that there are various different levels of guidance. You're already on the path, you know, you're already going through the stages, and once you start going through the first stage, then you can get through the second stage. There's no way for you to get through to the second and third stage until you get onto the first stage. Once you're on that first stage, you're on the path. Then you just have to keep trying and Allah will give you greater levels of guidance. Allah subhanahu, that was in Surah Maryam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anfal, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. This is in Surah Al-Anfal, Allah says, O people who believe, if you fear Allah, if you have taqwa, if you inculcate more taqwa into you, يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. Allah will provide for you the Furqan. Now, what is the Furqan? Right? The Furqan is the light that Allah will provide somebody to be able to distinguish between right and wrong. There's a lot of people who get misled into things that were wrong without realizing, because the basira, the nur, isn't there. It's easily they get involved. Could be doing some good deeds, etc. as well, but it's easy to fall into the wrong deeds, because that kind of awareness isn't there. The alarm bells don't ring hard enough, if they ring at all. But when a person is provided that nur and that guidance, then the alarm bells go off straight away, and a person avoids the place, avoids it completely. That's the Furqan. The Furqan is what Allah provides of light, by which a person is able to distinguish between right and wrong, between things that will be of assistance for him and benefit him and give him victory, and those things that will actually take him
Allah
down.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَةً لِكُلِّ عَبْدٍ مُنِيبٍ.
There is a sign in this Quran, there's a sign in this story that we've told for everybody who is turning to Allah. Now, we're understanding something very important from here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ. In that is a sign for everybody who is sabir and shakir. Everybody who's not just normally sabir and shakir, but somebody who's sabbar and who's shakur, which means intensely patient and intensely grateful. The more grateful we are, the more we get, the more we understand, the more Allah opens it up. And the more sabr we have, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens it up. These are the two states of the believer that are required. And the more a person takes this on, the easier that it becomes. So essentially what this is telling us about, what all of this is telling us about, is that the more you do, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides. And number two, to really benefit from the Quran, you have to increase your acts of piety. You have to have that heart that will understand and take those lessons. Otherwise, you won't. You'll be reading the Quran, you won't get those lessons, because the heart isn't conducive for it. That heart, the more, there's always, the Quran will always offer more. Will always offer more. And the more we increase in righteousness and piety, the more that will come out of the Quran. And that's why it makes sense, because sometimes you listen to righteous people, they come, they mention a verse, and they bring such a great, amazing point from that verse. And you think, I have not read that in any tafsir. Because that's something that Allah has opened up for that heart. And that's an absolute possibility. Not everything that the Quran has on offer has already been written or said. You have to remember that. Not everything that the Quran has on offer, because Allah, the Quran is the words of Allah. Just like Allah is infinite, the wisdoms of the Quran are infinite. So yes, there have been numerous, hundreds, thousands of tafaseer that have been written. The Quran has been discussed and elucidated by so many righteous people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it still has to offer more. It has still a lot more to offer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in here very clearly, this final verse that we read, that the Quran, if you want to benefit from the Quran, it's the people ahlu sabri wa ahlu shukri that are going to be able to benefit from the Quran. You have to have sabr and we have to have shukr to benefit from the Quran. And it's the people of taqwa, the people of khashya, the people of inaba. These were the words that were used. In the verses that we read, the words that were used for the people who Allah provides benefit to was ahlul taqwa, the people of taqwa. Ahlul inaba, which I meant was people who return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahlul khashya, people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these states come together generally. If you have taqwa, the reason you have taqwa is you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you feel like everything else is redundant and I must just focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do have states of returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but unfortunately they don't stay very long. So many of us, the challenge that we have is that we get an inspiration, we have that good day or we have a bad day, and we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we think, let's do that extra nawafil, that extra tahajjud, that extra dua. So we've turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that turning doesn't remain long enough. We go back and we fall back into the same things over and over again. We get back into the adornment of the world. And I think the main reason for this is that the dunya is just too big in our sight. You know what I mean by that? The dunya is just too much in our sight. If the akhirah becomes bigger in our sight, and the dunya suddenly becomes smaller, and we can actually see, you know, it's like an eclipse. Right now, this dunya has eclipsed our akhirah. We can't see the akhirah. The sun is blazing, but you know when there's an eclipse, a solar eclipse, and the moon comes in between? Can you see any part of the sun? The whole dunya becomes dark. Well, likewise, the akhirah is supposed to be bright, illuminating the believers. But our dunya is so in our face that despite the fact that the akhirah is much greater, larger and infinite, it's obscured. How can a small moon encompass the sun, which is so many times greater? So many times greater. Well, likewise, how does the dunya encompass? It's because it's in our line of vision. The closer a thing is to us, it will obscure our vision from everything else. So the dunya has obscured our vision of the hereafter. Now, if we can reduce this dunya by just dismissing it, using it but dismissing it, not making it our goal, then the akhirah suddenly will start peeking out. We'll start seeing more of the akhirah until the akhirah. And for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as you know, he said this dunya for him is just like the wayfarer going through on his journey and finding a tree to sit under for a while, to sleep or rest under for a while, the shade, and then he moves on. This world is just like a shade for him, because his akhirah is very, very clear. Very clear. So how can we get our akhirah to be clearer? Even do we see our akhirah? When was the last time that we actually saw our akhirah? We actually had some ideas about our akhirah, where we're going to be, what it's going to look like, what do we need for it? That's the question. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Surah Taha, Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa illa tadhkiratan liman yakhsha. We did not reveal this Qur'an to you so that you could become unfortunate. That's not why we reveal this Qur'an for you. Illa tadhkiratan liman yakhsha. It's only a reminder for those who fear. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Surah An-Nazi'at, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنْذِرُ مَنْ يَخْشَاهَا. You came as a warner to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but you will only warn those people who fear the hereafter. Who fear. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to warn them. Any person who doesn't believe in the Akhirah, who doesn't hope for the Akhirah, who doesn't fear the Akhirah, فَلَا تَنْفَعُهُ الْآيَاتِ الْعَيَّانِيَةِ وَلَا الْقُرْآنِيَةِ. No sign in this world, in the cosmic sense, or no Qur'ani ayat, signs, will benefit a person who doesn't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will go past these signs and it will have no effect on them whatsoever. What is our state? We see signs, does it have an effect on us? Does it benefit us? That's the things to think about. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in Surah Al-Hud about the punishments of the different nations who disobeyed their messengers, who belied their messengers, and what kind of punishment they get in this world. What kind of punishment they got in this world, what kind of result they ended up with. We hear these stories, but do they penetrate our heart? Do they make us feel, hey, that could happen to us? It doesn't. We just think that they're from another era. They are from another time and place. That was them. We're not as bad as them. That's the way it makes us feel. But for the people who have fearful hearts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understand the reality of the hereafter and how delicate a matter that is, then all of these things will affect them. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hud, right, after mentioning all of these stories of the destruction of the people of the past, he says, Inna fi dhalika la ayatan liman khafa adhab al akhirah. In all of this is a sign for the people who fear the punishment of the hereafter. Otherwise, nobody who fears that in the akhirah, because it's obscure and eclipsed right now with the dunya, it doesn't really help us. Now, the person who doesn't believe in the hereafter nor fears its punishment, then it's obviously not going to be a sign or a lesson for them. It's not going to be a lesson for them. It's a lesson, but it's not a lesson for them. It's a lesson only for some people. People who are of that nature, the way they dismiss it, what is their thought process? their thought process is, oh, there's always been good and evil in the past. There's always been people punished. That's just the nature of the world. They don't attach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to it. Oh, evil occurs in this world. What's the big deal? They don't provide the sabab behind it. They don't think about the reasons and causes behind it. The way to benefit from the ayat is through sabr and shukr. Something good happens, you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when something bad happens, you are restrained for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's an active sense. It's something you do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking about it. The reason is that our entire iman, if you look at the essence of our faith, it actually all comes down to sabr and shukr. After all of the different aspects of our faith, it actually comes down to sabr and shukr. And the reason is that half of our iman is sabr and half of our iman is shukr. Now, depending on how much sabr a servant does or how much shukr they do, that's going to be the level of our iman. How much are we willing to do sabr? Now, you know, again, I think I've clarified this before many times, that sabr is more than when a calamity comes upon you, that you bear it. It's more than that. We do sabr on a regular basis. And that's because sabr is, the two other aspects of sabr is sabr on obedience. To wake up for fajr. Right? To perform the prayer. To do wudu beforehand. To take out time to do it. All of that requires a level of patience to be able to do this. Otherwise, the natural attraction in a human being is to just relax and enjoy, or do something that they more enjoy doing. So if a person has to pray and is forced to do these things, then he has to do sabr to do it, to do good deeds. Likewise, if there is something that is entertaining but it's haram, there is something very lucrative and seemingly profitable but it's doubtful, and a person restrains himself from that, all of these pyramid schemes and all of these kind of things that bowl people off the feet and waste their money and waste their time and effort, right? All of this, if a person withholds from it because he thinks it's wrong. Now remember, a lot of these pyramid schemes, they're not necessarily wrong in the sense of haram in terms of the agreement or the transaction. But they are deceptive because they make you greedy. I give you an example. Some of them, the whole transaction is wrong. What are you buying? What are you selling? Do you understand? Or it's got interest based in it. If you do this much, then we'll give you this much extra. Your money's guaranteed. It could. Now, there's a lot of these schemes which are not like that. They are actual buying and selling something. So you're buying something, you're selling something. And you're getting a lot back. And when you get a lot back in something, generally what happens is you feel like you want to put all of your investment in there. So I spoke to somebody recently about one of these things. And he says, look, it's very clear. The transaction seems to be very clear. So I said, okay, have you made any money? He says, no, I'm not making any money right now, because every bit of money I make, I put it back in there to invest further. So in terms of the actual transaction, there's nothing wrong. It seems like a halal transaction. You know what the problem is? It's developed in such a way that you get greedy and you keep investing. You see profits in the beginning, so you keep putting money back in. And then after that, it suddenly all collapses. So it's a scam at the back of it. The transaction in the front is halal, but the scam is in the background. Whereas in others, it's halal, haram for Muslims, because the transaction itself is problematic. So just because something is halal doesn't make it wise. You have to understand that. That's in any business anyway. Now you have to remember that anything that is giving you a lot back, and I've learnt my lesson, that anything that promises to give a lot back, just be careful with those things. Right? Just be careful with those things. Because they're just harmful. And that is the same thing of the dunya. That is what's obscured our akhirah. That initial flash of the benefits. Doesn't mean you can't use the world. Just understand where it's coming from. You've got the means, use it if you want to. But just understand where it's coming from. Don't get intoxicated by it. So, the conclusion of all of this is that sabr and shukr is at the bottom of all of these things. And with sabr and shukr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the Quran for us. The reason is that فَإِنَّ رَأْسَ الشُّكْرِ التَّوْحِيدِ The peak of shukr is tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understanding the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the peak of sabr is to abstain from any invitation to fulfilling the lowly desire. Why is tawheed shukr? Well, it's because you've recognized that everything that I have, me, myself, my existence and everything that I have at my disposal comes from this God who administrates the affairs of this world and is its creator. And I've recognized Him for His oneness. Recognizing Allah is giving shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He takes that as a thanks and thus He rewards for it. And sabr is to avoid the nafs. That's what sabr is. Now, if a person is a mushrik, following his nafs and desires, he cannot be sabir and shakir. And that's why these ayat can't benefit him. As soon as his heart turns, softens out, looking for guidance, the Quran will be open for him. That's why there are so many non-Muslims who this happens to. They are just in that state where their heart is soft and they're looking for something. They suddenly come across a Muslim who tells them about a verse in the Quran. That verse in the Quran didn't benefit that Muslim as much as it benefited that non-Muslim, because their hearts were prepared for it. That's one thing that new Muslims have over a lot of existing born Muslims, that their hearts have softened out and they've been looking for something. Whereas the believers, their heart has just accepted what their parents have given them. It's been easier for them. So their heart isn't as receptive sometimes. That's why non-Muslims, sometimes they prosper and develop and advance much faster than people who are born Muslims. Not to say that the door is closed for Muslims, born Muslims, is not the case. But a person who has just come into Islam, their heart is just more malleable. And he's looking, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then just opens to him because he's looking for guidance. He doesn't think he knows it all. The other deceptions that born Muslims have is that they have a lot of culture that parades itself as religion, or people parade that culture as their religion. So they have a lot of misunderstanding. Of course, that can happen to a new Muslim as well, because the people he joins, they can show him culture as Islam as well. They can show him their view. That's a challenge basically for everybody. But the Quran is open. That's the main thing. The ayat are open. That's why if we look at the verses on the other side, which is Allah, so just listen to these verses. يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides by it many, misguides by it many. And it's only the transgressors who are misguided. If you do good, you will never be misguided. It's only the transgressors. الَّذِينَ يَنْقُدُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ. Who are the transgressors? Those who break the covenant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after having strongly ratified it. They've broken the covenant with Allah, which they had before they were born. They broke that. وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلْ. And they sever the links that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered to be connected. وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And they create create havoc in this dunya. Ulaika humul khasirun. These people are going to be the losers. Surah Al-Baqarah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Ibrahim. Yuthabbitu Allahu alladhina amanu bil qawli thabiti fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah. Allah will keep firm the people who believe with the enduring word, with the kalima la ilaha illallah. Allah will use that, Allah will assist by that people who believe in this hayatul dunya and in the akhirah. وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will misguide the oppressors. وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah does as He wishes. That's in Surah Ibrahim. Then in Surah An-Nisa, Allah says, فَمَا لَكُمْ فِي الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِئَتَيْنِ وَاللَّهُ أَرْكَسَهُمْ بِمَا كَسَبُوا. Why is it that there are two groups within the munafiqeen? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of them and seize them based on what they have earned. Allah says in, again, Surah Al-Baqarah, وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. These people, they say that our hearts are closed. We can't understand anything. بَلْ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِكُفْرِهِمْ فَقَلِيلًا مَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. No, it's not that their hearts are closed. What it is that Allah has cursed them has cursed them because of their kufr. So very few of them will believe. They say, hey, our hearts are closed, we can't understand anything, we can't see it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتَهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ كَمَا لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. In Surah Al-An'am, we will upturn their hearts and their sights, so they won't see straight, just as they did not believe in the first instance. So most of this misguidance that Allah is speaking about is based on the people's initial actions. It's a result of something that they did. Not something that Allah just hated somebody from the beginning and said, khalas, you are never gonna believe. It's always because of something that they did. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهِ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. O people who believe, respond to Allah and His Messenger when He calls you, when they call you, to that which will give you life. And know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can come between a person and his heart. Can come between a person and his heart. That's in Surah Al-Anfal. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Saff, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. It's when they became crooked that Allah made their hearts crooked. They did the crookedness first, then Allah made their hearts crooked, so now they just lose out all the time. That's why you have a lot of people who are born in Muslim households and now they say they're atheists or they've got questions with Islam and so on, and there's no way you can help them either. Because their problem is really this closing of the heart. They're not very intellectual, right? They're not really intellectually challenging Islam. They just have some fundamental issues. A lot of the questions that they apparently will give to you are just a facade for deeper problems inside, which is this kind of problem. And you just can't help some people. These people, you can only make dua for them. Because if Allah removes that lock, then it's okay. Otherwise, you can sit with them all day and try to explain and they'll still, you won't get it. Yeah, they won't get it. Allah says, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Nay, it's, this is the ran is the rust. This is the rust upon their hearts, based on what they would do. Because of what they do, rust is created in it. Now this is talking about the extreme misguidance, that they are misguided and they are blocked and prevented right now as well. You know, as the hadith mentions, that if you miss three Jumu'ahs on, if you miss three Jumu'ahs taking them lightly, you will also get a seal on your heart. Which means that you're not a kafir yet, but you're not gonna get any goodness, no tadhakkur, no reminders, and eventually you might as well end up as a kafir. Because you just won't have any inclination unless you make some serious dua to Allah to remove that lock on the heart. Allah protect us, because we may have done a deed which has provided a lock on our heart. If we just don't progress, if we can't seem to progress, we're in that rut all the time. We do a bit of dhikr, we do a bit of this, but we just can't move on. Really, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. They forgot Allah first, so then He forgot them. Meaning when Allah forgets somebody, He just leaves them by their side. He doesn't help them and He doesn't assist them. That's basically what all of this is about. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَاتَّبَعُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. These are the people who Allah has placed a seal on their heart. Thus, they just continue now to follow their desires. وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا. But those people who have gained guidance, زَادَهُمْ هُدَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them more guidance, وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ, and gives them their taqwa. This is the distinction between the two types of verses. So that's basically the conclusion of it all. The more good deeds we will do and the more we ask Allah, the more fear we will inculcate, the more taqwa we will try to gain, and all of that, the most powerful thing is what the Mashaykh is telling us, is that we have tried to outwardly do it so much. We pray, we so on, but our prayers are empty. Our Quran reading is devoid of what it needs. That's why they make us sit down and reconnect our hearts. Because if the heart is fired up, then all of these things will start benefiting. If the heart is dead, we do all of these acts sometimes, but they don't benefit us. It's about enlivening the heart, which will then give life to all of these things. The heart that is full of taqwa, of khashiyah, and things like that. And the way you gain that, essentially, is by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bringing him back in there after all these years of sin and pollution and the toxic waste that has been deposited in our heart by all of our deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us through these Quranic verses. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.